Harun nodded, his eyes fixed on the latest picture. It showed Harun striking a heroic pose with one foot on a heap of slain trolls.
Me and you and little friend Two Flowers, we all get on okay, he said. Also, tomorrow, may we get a better profile, okay?
He carefully wrapped the picture in trollskin and stowed it in his saddlebag along with the others. It seems to be working, said Two Flower admiringly, as Hurun rode ahead to scout the road. Sure, said Rincewind. What heroes like best is themselves. You're getting quite good at using the picture box, you know that?
Yeah.
So you might like to have this. Two Flower held out a picture.
What is it? Asked Rincewind.
Oh, it's just a picture you took in the temple.
Rincewind looked in horror. There, bordered by a few glimpses of tentacle, was a huge, walled, calloused, potion-stained and unfocused thumb.
That's the story of my life, he said wearily.
You win, said Fate, pushing the heap of souls across the gaming table. The assembled gods relaxed. There will be other games, he added. The lady smiled into two eyes that were like holes in the universe.
And then there was nothing but the ruin of the forests and a cloud of dust on the horizon which drifted away on the breeze. And sitting on a pitted and moss-grown milestone, a black and raggedy figure. His was the air of one who is unjustly put upon, who is dreaded and feared, yet who is the only friend of the poor and the best doctor for the mortally wounded. Death, although of course completely eyeless, watched Rincewind disappearing with what would, had his face possessed any mobility at all, have been a frown. Death, although exceptionally busy at all times, decided that he now had a hobby. There was something about the wizard that irked him beyond measure. He didn't keep appointments, for one thing.
I'll get you yet, Cully. See if I don't.
The Lure of the Wyrm. It was called the Wyrmberg, and it rose almost one half of a mile above the Green Valley, a mountain huge, grey, and upside down. At its base, it was a mere score of yards across. Then it rose through clinging cloud, curving gracefully outward like an upturned trumpet, until it was truncated by a plateau fully a quarter of a mile across. There was a tiny forest up there, its greenery cascading over the lip. There were buildings. There was even a small river, tumbling over the edge in a waterfall so wind-whipped that it reached the ground as rain. There were also a number of cave mouths, a few yards below the plateau. They had a crudely carved, regular look about them, so that on this crisp autumn morning the Wyrmberg hung over the clouds like a giant's dovecot. This would mean that the doves had a wingspan slightly in excess of 40 yards.
I knew it, said Rincewind. We're in a strong magical field.
Two Flower and Hrun looked around the little hollow where they had made their noonday halt. Then they looked at each other. The horses were quietly cropping the rich grass by the stream. Yellow butterflies skittered among the bushes. There was a smell of thyme and a buzzing of bees. The wild pigs on the spit sizzled gently. Hrun shrugged and went back to oiling his biceps. They gleamed.
Looks all right to me, he said.
Try tossing a coin, said Rincewind.
What?
Go on, toss a coin.
Okay, said Hrun, if it gives you any pleasure.
He reached into his pouch and withdrew a handful of loose change, plundered from a dozen realms. With some care, he selected a Zaclotti leaden quarter iotum and balanced it on a purple thumbnail.
You call,
he said.
Heads, or...
He inspected the obverse with an air of intense concentration.
Oh, some sort of a fish with legs.
When it's in the air, said Rincewind.
Hrun grinned and flicked his thumb. The iotum rose, spinning.
Edge, said Rincewind, without looking at it.
Magic never dies, it merely fades away. Nowhere was this more evident on the wide blue expanse of the Discworld than in those areas that had been the scene of the great battles of the Mage Wars, which had happened very shortly after creation. In